Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
Hallelujah. Want to get your Bibles today, and I want to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 today. Hallelujah. In the way of the African church, they're going to begin to finalize the land on the 16th. And we've just now understood how to send the offering for the orphans without it being stolen. And so we're going to get that done. I want you to know, Brandon and everything. There's so many con artists out there hacking in emails and Facebook and this and that. And so I have to develop two or three different fail-safes to make sure that it's going to the right person. They can get your picture, steal your name, and come in as you, but it's not you. You understand? So if I send you a Facebook request with a monkey on it, it's not me. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Well, it could have been a hog, amen. And I want to look at verse 3 today. Hallelujah. I've been trying to go on past the meaning of the cross, and I'm having difficulty, so we're going to take another run at it again today with a little future further revelation of the subject. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of majesty on high. That's what that means, the right hand of God. Father God, we thank You for Your word today. May You just increase our revelation of Jesus. In His name we pray, and everybody said amen. All right. When you get in the presence of the Father God, you don't sit down unless the work is complete. And so Jesus completed His work while He was on the earth, went back and sat down, signifying the completion of all things. That was in the covenant in the mind of God. What I want to focus on here now is He had by Himself purged our sins. Everybody say, purged our sins. The fact is that Jesus sustains the weight of the universe and maintains its development all by Himself. Our sins. Now, here's the deal. Everybody that's born of woman is born in sin. That's a fact. That's the problem with the human race, is a sin problem. But Christ came to pay the price for everyone that was born a sinner, and we all were. The condition is the sinner must accept the Son and what He did on the cross for our forgiveness. Amen. And when that occurs by faith, then the new birth is activated in the sinner's life. From that point on, that person is not a sinner anymore, but a Christian. So there's a difference between a sinner that hasn't received Christ and the repenting sinner that did receive Christ and now is changed into a Christian. There's no other way to become a Christian and be placed in the kingdom of God except one way. Everybody say one way. Now, apparently, and it is true that Christ Himself purged our sins. Now, where did that take place? Our sins were purged at the cross. Amen. There he dealt with sin. He dealt with what sin causes. He dealt with the power of sin, defeating the power of sin. He defeated the cause of sin, and he also took away the guilt of sin that we've all experienced. Now, if any of those three aspects are in your life, I suggest you don't understand what happened at the cross. Amen. Then Christ sat down. All right. Now I want to go to St. John chapter 14 today in verse 16. The good news is today that those that have repented and received Christ as Savior and Lord, been snatched out of the family of the devil and supernaturally translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Did you get that? We have redemption through His blood. His blood had to be shed on the cross in order for us to have redemption. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So what we could not do, God provides for us. It's really a good deal because we have nothing to bring to God except our mutilated lives. In St. John 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, how long is the Holy Spirit going to abide with the believer?
Forever.
Therefore, by the grace of God, when we get into heaven, the Holy Spirit will still be with us.
Yes.
Not only with us, but in us. Now, we've got to understand something here. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in the believer. However, concerning prophet, priest, and king, the Holy Spirit would come not only on the believer, but go into the believer for service. The problem was the Holy Spirit did not stay in the person of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, etc., etc., because their sin had not been purged yet. Now, in the New Testament time that we live in, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes in to stay. Do you know why? The sin problem has been paid for by the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God promises us now He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Glory to God. I would not have wanted to have been a prophet in the Old Testament and have the Holy Spirit leave. But that's exactly what happened. It doesn't mean that we're not in covenant with God. They just did not understand Christ in them. They looked into it, wanted to know, but over the thousands of years, the revelation has been brought to our minds today what really occurs at the new birth. And I dare say it is quite a mystery. Verse 17, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Did you get that? The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit Himself. Amen. So a sinner cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the blood hasn't been applied to their life. Now, on the other hand, when the blood of Christ is applied to the sinner's life, then they are born again. We are saved by the blood. Atonement was made by the blood that was shed on the cross. Now we're a fit habitation for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us permanently and never leave. Did you get that? Never leave. Amen. The only way He would leave is for you to reject Him. And you know what? I'm not going to do that. No. Are you? Of course not. Now, you don't have to understand everything. Just accept the revelation of the cross, okay? That'll be good enough. And in the by and by, we'll understand it all. It'll take eternity anyway. Then in verse 18, No, excuse me. Let me read 17. The Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. Now he's talking to his disciples now and before he went to the cross. You know him, but he dwells with you and he shall be in you. So he wasn't in the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Luke, and all those guys at that time. He was with them. But Jesus said, the Comforter shall be in you. Now, to repeat, the only reason the Comforter could come in legally is because the blood had to be shed on the cross, and then he could legally come in the believer. I will not leave you comfortless, verse 18, and I will come to you. Now, thinking quickly about the Old Testament prophets in Psalms 51 and verse 11 today. Hallelujah. So the Spirit abides within us. The Spirit abides within us. Psalms 51, David, King David, by the way, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit, said, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Therefore, we conclude that David actually had the Holy Spirit, or he would not have prayed that. Waiting for the amen here. But the problem was the Holy Spirit could not permanently dwell because Christ had not went to the cross. That was the problem. Now, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 11, thinking along these same lines, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them didn't signify. In them, the Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings. Did you get that? He was in them, but he couldn't abide forever because Christ had not went to the cross. Do you understand that? Okay. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So Christ had not went to the cross and suffered for sins yet. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit could not dwell in the prophet, priest, and king in the old covenant permanently. Amen. I think we understand that. So the Holy Spirit would come into these people, but then later leave. That would have to be, I don't want that to ever happen. And by the grace of God, it shall not happen as long as we stay in the will of God. That's the key. Now, and we look at Hebrews 10:4 again in the New Testament times. The Bible tells us it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So now, in the Old Testament times, then, they would bring their offerings, sacrificial offerings, which represented Christ coming. And God would postpone judgment because they had faith in the coming Savior, and that animal that was slain represented Christ's coming. And therefore, their Father God would honor the faith of the person that would bring the lamb, and judgment would be postponed for an entire year, not only upon the man, but the family. Amen. Well, because everyone was sinful, you see. And God really hates sin. When God says, I'll forgive your sin and throw it away and not remember it anymore, is because God cannot stand the thought of sin. No, he's totally holy. And the only way any of us can stand before a thrice holy God is to have the blood of the Lamb applied to our lives today. No other way. So therefore, the cross is the means. The cross is the means. Now, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19 today, for as much as you know, you have not been redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But here's how we've been redeemed, everybody. How many is redeemed today?
Amen.
But by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So when Jesus, the Son of the living God, went to the cross, he was offered as our sacrifice as the Lamb of God that would take away our sins. Amen. The penalty of sin, the guilt of sin, and everything else you can think of was taken away right then when Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed. Amen. It's a legal thing, you see. So we've been redeemed by the precious blood. That is faith. That is the faith. That is the word of faith. We must maintain 100% 24/7 faith in the blood of the Lamb. Every time we approach the throne of grace to pray, every time we ask in the name of Jesus, never forget the blood that was shed for our redemption. Never forget that. We can approach God no other way. He accepts no other approach than through the cross. Maybe some of you understand this, but it's beginning to be a real revelation to me after 40 years. It's been coming on for the last 10 years, maybe 12, 15 years. But I'm beginning to see now that everything God does, he does one way. Only one way. He only works one way. And that isn't faith in faith. That is faith in the Savior and what he did on the cross. Primarily, his innocent, sinful blood, God's blood, being shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Once we receive that blessing, that gift, now we are a son of God. We might be in an infinite stage, embryo stage, but nevertheless, we're his child. Glory to God. Amen. Then in 1 John 1:7, praise God. Now, this salvation thing is very, very serious, very important to a human being because the world has no answers for you. None. They can put a Band-Aid on it, but that's about it. They can't fix anybody, period. The only answer for sin is the blood of the Lamb. And sin is the problem with everybody, even after salvation. Amen. If you think you don't have a sin problem, you better go, you better listen to what's going on last week. We not be, may be classified as sinners, no. But we all have a tendency to do something wrong. Just any little bitty thing God hates, can't stand it. And if it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb, we'd be consumed. Because God cannot look on sin. He only sees the blood. That's right. Now, I'm not saying that we have a license to live any old way. If you're a child of God, you're born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've been a recipient of the indwelt Holy Spirit, you hate sin. That's right. You hate sin in your life, you hate sin in everybody else's life, but I got news for all of us, God loves us. Amen. But he hates wrongdoing.
That's right.
Wrong motives, wrong actions, wrong deeds. Anything that's not holy, God cannot stand it. Therefore, we all need to cling to the cross of Calvary because there's no other remedy but that. Glory to God. But thank God there is a remedy. Thank God he's made provisions for us. When we fail and mess up, and don't say you won't fail and mess up, that's presumptuous sin. Now you're guilty. You see, no matter how we look at it, we need Christ Jesus, or we're not going to make it. We better keep our mind focused on the provisions of Christ that comes from the cross and only through the cross. There's no other way that God will operate. And then in 1 John 1:7, we all know this, but if we walk in the light, how many is in the light of God's Word today? In other words, however much light's been given to you, you are required to walk in it. Now, don't try to be willfully ignorant now. That's not going to work. That's a sin. Come on. If God's revealed something to you through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through experiences, whatever, then you are required to walk in it. The good news is God will give you the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help you walk in it. That's why Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, to help us do what we cannot do on our own. He's the helper. He knows how to help us to succeed and please the Lord and be blessed in this world. Walk in the light as He's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, everybody say blood. See, it's all about the blood. The whole Bible, the subject is the blood, which is the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much? All sin. Every wrong thought, action, and deed. Every day when we get up, God's mercy is renewed every morning, 100%. We're on the loose, devil. You better look out. Praise God. Because when you walk that way and you understand who you are in Christ. See, that's the whole problem with the church. People do not understand who they are in Christ Jesus. That's right. Or who He is in them. See, the greater one lives in you. Amen. And you can't be defeated if you understand who you are in Christ and who He is in you. Then we go to Romans 8:2, and here comes part of the revelation that's continuing with me. And I'm looking at it as an older person now in a different way. It isn't wrong to look at the Scripture in many different ways because it always winds up at the cross. No matter where you start or where you finish, there is where it starts and finishes. Right there, at the cross. It was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my soul rolled away. Not any other place. No other answer. But thank God there is an answer for people. There's an answer for us. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's all I want to look at. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. All right. What is the law of the Spirit? First off, the Spirit only works one way, through the blood. The law of the Spirit is one way, works through the blood. That's the law of the Spirit. That's part of the revelation. The blood, the Spirit works through the blood, which is the meaning of the cross. The Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit, is the only law in the universe that's greater than the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is very powerful. There's only one remedy, and that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The only way to receive the blessed law of the Spirit in our life is the cross, the blood being applied. There is no other way of victory. Right. Thank God there is victory over sin and purity within. I used to think the Holy Ghost power would give it to me. Now I want you to hear what I'm saying. You see, the Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, because of the blood, because of the cross, can now legally come into our lives. He comes into our lives because of the cross. There is no other reason. There is no other way He will ever come into your life. Is but you must have your faith in the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross. Just like Abel, in the Old Testament, Abel would bring a sacrifice, and God would see that Abel's sacrifice, and God was well pleased with the sacrifice, because the sacrifice represented the cross. So it is today. It's a done deal. Jesus sat down and finished everything. All we have to do is come into your agreement with His will. That's all. Then you'll be changed. You'll be able to overcome sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. None of us will ever be totally sinless. There'll always be something or something wrong. And I think God might allow that to a point, so we'll need Him. Or we'd be so holy, you know, might as well be raptured up, you know, like Enoch. But, you know, We don't have 300 years to mess around here. We don't have 30 years to mess around. I don't even know if we have 3 years to mess around. I don't know if we got 30 days to mess around. Today is the day of salvation. You better get to the cross while you can. There's no other way. No other answer for the human race. But the Holy Spirit now, through the law of the Spirit, because the blood's been shed, and it's a done deal on the cross, can come in and live with us forever. Amen. Praise God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit can legally empower us for service. Why can the Holy Spirit legally empower and anoint a believer for service? There's only one reason why. The blood was shed and the cross is enough. Now here's something that I had to change my thinking on. And the Lord understands. A lot of times we mean well, but we don't really understand the revelation. And I must admit, the apostles didn't understand the revelation. It was brought in by the apostle Paul. He was the one that brought in the revelation of the cross. They didn't understand it in the Old Testament. Hello? We're more culpable than them. We have the Word of God here that gives the revelation. God help us to hear what the Holy Spirit says to us today, because our soul's in the balance. Very serious. You see, for my own self here today, I put faith in the Spirit. I put faith in the anointing. I put faith in the gifts that God has given me. I put faith in the prophet ministry. I put faith in the power of God. I put faith in the gifts of the Spirit. I trusted in the mantle that God had given me when He had called me to preach. I trusted in the anointing that I work through sometimes that enables me to minister to people. A lot of times I feel nothing, know nothing, and suddenly because of the gift of God, it'll kick in and the power of God will begin to move, and I begin to lean on that, you see. I begin to lean on that. You understand what I'm saying? But that was wrong. It wasn't totally wrong, because we should have confidence in these things. But why does it work? There's only one reason that it works. Not my great faith, not my sinlessness. The cross and the blood is the only reason why it works. Now say amen to that. The only reason we'll ever be anything for God is the cross, not the gifts, not the anointing, not the mantle, even though it's needed. But the only reason we can operate that way is the cross and that alone. The only reason you can be healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost, delivered from demons, is the cross and that alone. Thank God, though, when we have our faith in the finished work of Jesus, the power of God will begin to move. And we lack it, we got to have it. Amen. But we dare not put our faith in that. We trust the Holy Spirit, but our faith must be in the Lamb of God, Jesus Himself. And if it's not, the Holy Spirit will begin to dissipate and not work like He wants to, because our faith is sidetracked. Come on, somebody. Some of us, we got our faith in the church. Well, I've been baptized. I give tithe. I pray. I study. I have degrees. I do this and that. And all these things are good and right. But it will not give you victory over sin. Even being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues 24/7 will not and cannot give you victory over sin, because you're trusting in that rather than the cross. This message is so important. We need to get the Pentecostal church straightened up. Without the blood, we're all going to hell. Thank God the blood's been shed. Thank God we'll not be going to hell. You hear what I said? The only way to get your name put in the book of life is to accept the blood of the Lamb. There is no other way. The only way that God anoints the power of God and uses us in the anointing and the power of God begins to move and bless people and call sinners to the cross for salvation, to fill people with the Holy Ghost power, to heal people, deliver people, to bless people financially, to heal their dysfunctional families, there's only one reason. The blood must be applied. That blood stands against the devil. Say amen, somebody. Amen. That devil cannot cross the bloodline. Furthermore, there is no such thing as a generational curse. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that curse was cut off at Calvary. Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
Glory to God. No such thing as breaking off generational curses from people that are saved. No such thing. It's religion. It's nonsense. Because I'm saying the Bible teaches us that Christ alone paid the price to get it broke off at Calvary. God doesn't need our help. No, all we do is a messenger boy, just a servant, to bring the good news to you that Christ is the answer for your problems.
Amen.
There is no other way. But you see, I begin to lean on that prophetic ministry, begin to lean on the anointing for help, and thank God, but we can't lean too much. Because anytime we put our faith in anything other than the cross of Calvary, we're going to get off. If you're putting your faith and your ability to confess, you're already off. Your faith must be in Christ and Him crucified, and that alone, or you are not right with God. On the other hand, if you're right with God, you're going to confess something, thank God. You're going to say something. You're going to do something. You're going to be different, walk different, talk different, and spit different. Amen. When you hit your finger with a hammer, what are you going to say? Thank you, Lord, I didn't smash it off. But it hurts. We learn by pain. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? I can't live holy if I put faith in anything other than the cross. This is the problem. Religion wants to sanctify you and make you holy for everybody to see. And then pride sets in, which is sin. Because we mean well, we want to be sanctified and holy and right with God, but I'm saying the blood of the Lamb is what sanctifies. The blood of the Lamb is what makes us holy in the eyes of God. I could stand here today and preach with overalls on. Doesn't mean a thing. I could preach here with a three-piece suit and a red trump tie. It doesn't mean a thing. Amen. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And God wants to see that blood applied to your heart by faith. And if it has, you belong to Him. The devil cannot kill you. He can't destroy you before your time. And even if he does take your life, when the fullness of time comes, you just go to heaven to be with Christ and the rest of the church. Why? The cross. That's the only reason why. When it comes time for us to stand before Almighty God and the books are open and we give an account, there'll be only one reason why I should be allowed into heaven. Only one. Well, didn't we do many wonderful works and go around the world over a dozen times and preach to people and mentor this and give books and tapes and everything and give our lives for the gospel? Yes, but it doesn't mean much in compared to the blood. We won't even mention it. Because the blood is the only reason why we're going to get into heaven. The only reason. We must maintain our faith in the blood, which means the new covenant of God. We must hold to that. We must be mindful of that 24/7. Without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sins. And it was paid for at the cross, where Christ atoned for our sins. Glory to God. As long as we understand this message and hold to it, number one, our first love, Jesus and Him crucified, now we can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. But don't trust in that. Trust in Him, Jesus alone. Holy Spirit's going to do what He wants. Amen. Heard about this one guy. He prayed and prayed and prayed. nothing happened in the church. And one Sunday, he was playing video games with his grandchild and didn't have time to pray or for God or something. Come to church, and the power of God moved, the glory fell. And why? Because God's running things.
That's right.
You know, years ago, I was in Tri-City Church. God bless them up there for that church. They have been in such bondage for so many years. And I get up to preach. I was there 2 years before I started full-time ministry. I preached a Sunday night and Wednesday night helping Brother Thompson. But, you know, that church was so bound up by legalism. Come on, somebody. Was so bound up. I got up one night and I said, God, this is not worth it. I'm tired of taking the beating from the demons. I'm tired of it, putting my family through all this. And can't sleep at night and can't get... And so I told God, I'm quitting. I'm getting out of the ministry. I've had it. I'll go back to woodworking and I'll do something else for a living. And you know what? I got up there, couldn't even breathe. I said, folks, turn to Psalm 91. And I turned to Psalms 91 and read 3:10, then another 10 on top of that. And after that, we fly away. And when I said that, truth is my witness, that church came absolutely unglued and became the most holy rolling church I've ever seen in my life, all in a moment of time. Why was that? Because the cross is greater.
Amen.
And God says to me, see, son, I'm running things. I said, yes, sir, I'm sorry. You think you're running your life? No. If you surrendered to Christ at the foot of the cross, he took charge. He's running your life. Don't fight it. You won't win. Because God's a jealous God. He won't let you go easy. Amen. You say, well, I don't like the way things is going. Well, things can change when you change. Did you get that? The only way you can change is to keep your faith in the new covenant deal. It may be rough going right now, but if you maintain your faith in Christ, him crucified, the Holy Spirit will begin to work for you and pull you out of that mess. Deliver you. That's the only way the Holy Spirit works. No other way. Just straight enough today. So what I'm saying this morning is that being the born-again experience grants victory over sin. The born-again experience grants victory over sin. But Jesus gives the Holy Spirit for service. Now, if you didn't want to do anything for God with your life, just waste your life and go out into the next realm with nothing but just saved so as with fire, okay, that's your choice. But I'm looking for some people, and I believe there's a lot of people here right now this morning that wants to do more for God than just be saved so as before. You want to do something for God with your life and make your life count for the kingdom of God, have some rewards in heaven, come judgment day. The only way it's going to happen, you maintain your faith in Christ and the cross. The Holy Spirit will then give you power for service. He will anoint you, baptize you in the Holy Ghost. There's only one reason why God baptizes in the Holy Ghost and fire. It's because of the cross. There is no other reason. He works legally. God doesn't do anything like the crooked lawyer. He works through legalities. If the blood's been applied, he can now legally come into your life and fill you with the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not filled.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Right.
So, because if the believer keeps his or her faith in Christ, him crucified, sooner or later, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and you will speak with tongues just like that did in the book of Acts. Nothing's changed. But if you sidetrack your faith in any other thing than Jesus and him crucified, you'll never get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care how many preachers lay hands on you, it's not going to work until you give your life to Christ and come clean 110% and say, Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he will.
Amen.
But you got to ask. He'll do it. And when he does, there's a lot of evidence to being filled with the Holy Ghost, but the main evidence is you'll speak in an unknown tongue. Praise God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak unto men, but unto God. That's good enough for me.
Amen.
Holy Spirit helps us pray and makes intercession for us on and on. He's the power source. He's the one that regenerates you. He's the one that brings sanctification to you. He's the one that brings all the blessings of God to you. He's the one that empowers you. He's the one that equips you. He's the one that gives spiritual gifts to you and Him alone. But the reason He can do these things is because the blood was applied to your life first. God will not dwell in an unclean vessel, someone said. Amen. So our faith then must be anchored in Christ and Him alone. You got that? Nothing else. No one else. No other aspect in life. Our faith must remain in Christ and Him alone. I want to get that across. Are you getting it? Then nod like a chicken eating corn. Come on, somebody. Don't you let the devil sidetrack you now from what we just said, because that is the faith that will get you into heaven. We must maintain our faith that was once delivered to the saints. We must contend for the faith, because that devil comes to water this thing down, to erode the faith where it's not effective. You say, well, it's not working. If you maintain your faith in Christ, God will kick it in and it'll work. It'll work. I said it'll work. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to do it. We can't do it. I give up. Let God have control. Turn to someone and say, give up. Quit struggling. Set some of your problems. You come in here on Sunday morning, you're all burdened down with cares and problems and weights and things. You're not focused on the cross where Jesus bought and paid for your victory. Victory over sin only comes one way. As your faith is anchored in the blood of the Lamb, there is no other way for victory. None. Even the Holy Spirit won't do it. You hear what I said? The Holy Spirit will not give you victory over sin unless your faith's in the blood. You can speak in tongues 1,000 times a day. And it won't give you victory over sin. Because you're trusting in the tongues rather than the blood. God knows these things. Do a little shundai, and crow hop around here and call that faith. No. That's just speaking in tongues. I'm not belittling that at all. Because that's a manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need Him. Jesus gave Him for a reason. Don't say you don't need the Holy Ghost now. That's unbelief. You keep your faith in the cross, and Jesus is the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's the only one that will do it. I thank God He'll do it. You know why He'll do it? Because you trust in His shed blood that He spilled on the cross. Amen. Alone. Now you can come and say, Lord Jesus, fill me. And He will. When will He do it? Whenever you're ready. I said, whenever you're ready. Don't play around with this. But we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and we shall be witnesses unto Him. Amen. I was speaking to Brother Money last week about the tongues a little bit. And he said, well, you know, we start off praying in English, and after a while we run out of words. So I just switch over to tongues. That's right. That's right. Everybody said, that's right. Now, how do we switch over? For years I thought about this and wrestled with it. Is it me talking or the Holy Spirit talking? Which one? Well, the answer is both. The answer is both. Holy Spirit's not going to say anything but through your vocal cords. He can talk to you in your inner man in different ways. But if you want to pray in tongues, then you are the one that prays in tongues. Paul said, I will pray of the Spirit and I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. I will pray with the understanding. So he was talking about praying in his Hebrew tongue, and then he would switch over to the unknown tongue. That's what you call praying in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost, build up ourselves in our most holy faith. What holy faith? The blood of the Lamb. This message has got to get across to this church. And as soon as you get it, I'll go on to something else. Amen. There's only one reason why we can come to God and ask, and He'll answer today. Only one reason. The blood. Only one reason why we can be anointed for service. Only one reason why we can feel the love of God and the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Only one reason why. The blood. The blood was shed on the cross. This is the meaning of the new covenant. Not in the old covenant. It's fulfilled. In Christ. There is no law of Moses anymore. All the handwritten ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross and took out of the way. Why was it taken out of the way? The blood was the only way it was removed. The only way our sins can be forgiven. There's only one way. The blood of the Lamb must be applied to your life. The only way to do it is by faith and simple childlike trust God. How many trust God today? There is no other answer. Trust. Which is part of faith. Then we go to Romans 6:6 this morning. Glory to God. The preacher's showing up today a little bit. Amen. Why? The blood. Why can you stand here and preach to us? The blood. Why are you qualified? The blood. Why are you calling the ministry? The cross. I was calling the ministry some 40 years ago when Billy Graham was on TV and they give the altar call and they come running up there and God called me to preach. You're not looking at some mama preacher here. There is no preachers in my family unless Seth someday becomes one, and that's questionable. I don't press it. I don't tell him to do it. You got to do it if God calls you or forget it. You hear me? Maybe Zach, I don't know. Where is he at? He's downstairs. Grandpappy wasn't a preacher. He was a sinner. Dad wasn't a preacher. He was a sinner. I had no preachers in my family. I'm a lost black sheep. Not really lost. You know what I mean? Kind of a sore thumb at a family reunion. You know? And I was sitting in my easy chair, minding my own business, watching Billy Graham. Billy Graham wasn't an evangelist. He didn't have any spiritual gifts, but he did a lot for God. You hear me? He did a lot for God. One thing he did, the Holy Spirit called me to preach through his cross preaching. And I sat there in my easy chair. It's one of them vibrating chairs. Niagara. I didn't have the button on. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I was caught up. Everybody say suddenly. Now, I was saved. I was born again. I knew it. I was reading the Bible and praying all the time. And all of a sudden, I was caught up, and a ball of fire hit me right in my spirit, man, right here. About that big. A ball of fire, liquid fire, hit me right there. And it spooked me because, you know, in the Baptist church, they didn't teach about the power of God. But I'm telling you, the power of God's real, everybody. Amen. God is real. Holy Ghost is real. Jesus has all power. He controls all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things. He has his way in everybody. Amen. One way or the other. And I sit there. That ball of fire began to come up like this and try to come out. Up through my throat and try to come out. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I was spooked. You know. And I talked with people who's been filled with the Holy Ghost. They said, we've never experienced that. I look back at it now and God was calling me to be a prophet. And yet I didn't understand that for 20 years. Didn't understand that. Doesn't matter what you say. I know what I'm talking about. That power of God came up and tried to come out, and I wouldn't let him. I got scared, and I swallowed back down and quenched back down, and then he went back down and just radiated right there. Just radiated right there. How long this was, I don't know. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't know. God knows. And then he comes up again and goes down both arms, like a scan, like at the same time. Then back up. At the same time. And then comes back here and radiates. Now, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was sitting there looking up in the ceiling. And I'm thinking, he beckons me. That was the word. You see, I didn't understand Old Testament English, New Testament English. He beckons me. King James talked. I didn't talk that way. He beckons me. Those are the words that come to my mind. He's beckoning me. He's calling, beckoning me. And then a lot of you fishermen, especially, you know, Barry, he goes catfishing and caking out fishing every time. They go over there to Grand Lake, gets hung up there on the mud and everything and have a good time, right? But you know, when a catfish gets a hold of your fishing pole and, you know, you can feel him tug, right? Nobody? You know, you can feel him tug on that line, right? And that's the way it was. I was sitting there and radiating like this, and he began to tug on me like a catfish tugs on a line. One. Two. And I'm sitting there, I'm going to go through the ceiling, dear God. Three. And the fourth time, about pull me out of the chair. And then it subsides. And I go into a valley for 1 year. Dear God, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I'm just telling you, God has His way. Then 3 months after that, we had a fire and lost everything but a tar paper shack. No business, no unemployment, no nothing. It was dark. For 1 year, it was dark. What'd you do? All I could do is walk by faith. Trust God. One time we didn't have any food in the house. What were we going to do? And these two people came up, knocked on the door. Lord, tell us to bring you some food. Dear God. One winter it snowed. And, you know, I was trying to deal with this. Just a young man in my 20s. Didn't have any wood. This guy brought a truckload of wood to burn. And I was learning how to trust God for things. Then we crawled out of it after a period of time. Say time. Don't think God's forsaken you just because you're in a valley. You grow in the valley. You know, God gives us these callings, anointing, and spiritual gifts. But our character must rise to the occasion. And the only way is God's got to put the pressure on. The only way we're going to survive it is hold the old rugged cross. There is no other way. But thank God there is a way. And now today, I'm blessed. House is paid for. Amen. Don't owe anybody anything. Church is paid for. I'm healthy, glory to God. Run through a troop, leap over the wall. Got a great family, especially when they're asleep. Praise God. The kids, grandkids come over to the house, and tear up the house. I don't care. Praise God, you know. Looks like a tornado hits that place. Huh? Let them jump on the bed, tear up the sofa. Oh, well, you know. Got a powerful church. Did you hear that? Powerful church service, powerful Christians that come here. You don't realize the authority you have because of the blood. Amen. Do you know you can cast out a demon in Jesus' name because you're covered in the blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. You know the Holy Ghost can come upon you, sitting right there and knock you out of the chair and give you a vision, dream, cut you up to paradise in a moment of time because of the blood. That's the only reason. You realize you're blessed, coming and going. You're financially secure. You're blessed. You're driving good vehicles, man. Got good clothes. Eating fried chicken 3 times a week. Praise God. You're blessed. And God can't reverse it. He won't. Do you know why you're blessed? Do you know why that you're coming out? Do you know why you're going to kill Goliath? Do you know why you're going to remove the mountain and speak to it? Do you know why? The blood is the only reason why. When you speak the word of God, child of God, being washed in blood and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, those devils are scared of you. They will run. But if you don't understand who you are in Christ and your faith's in something else other than the cross, that devil's going to beat up on you 24/7. It's not God's will. Amen. Christ crucified gives victory over sin. The Holy Spirit moves in to stay. Did you get that? You say, well, you're preaching too long. Well, some of you can't come back tonight, so you're going to get a double dose this morning. You're too busy. The Holy Spirit comes to stay. He will help us. He will deliver us. If our faith is in Christ and the work of Calvary, and that's the only way He's going to help us. Do you understand that? Nobody. So I'm going to keep going until you get it. You can go to church, come in here, and you should. It's right. Every time that door opens, but if you're trusting that for victory, you'll never have victory over sin. If you're trusting water baptism or church attendance, you'll never have victory over sin. It will dominate you. It will destroy you, child of God. You may not lose your soul, but you're never going to amount to a hill of beans until you get your faith anchored in Christ. Once you have, the Holy Spirit power will become to follow. Right now, the Holy Spirit is wanting to come on to people in this church. Now I'm prophesying. When you have your faith anchored in Christ and you come as His child, wash the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Ghost power will come upon you for service and you'll not be like you were. You will have victory over sin and the Holy Ghost will help you have victory over sin as you maintain your faith in the blood. Not only that, He'll give you power to overcome every obstacle known to man. Glory to God. Talk about visions and dreams. He'll give them to you for a reason. Because He can trust you. Can God trust you today? John 14, 26. This morning, let me hurry now. I will pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you. How long? Forever. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance. He will abide with you forever. Amen. How long is He going to abide with us? Forever. He will teach you all things. Amen. He's the teacher. Why is He the teacher? Why can He be your teacher? Why is He alone your teacher? Because of the blood. He's your teacher because of the cross. He only works that way. Are you getting this? One. Are you getting this? He will only work one way to help us. The cross. It's no other way the Holy Spirit's going to work. Many in the church reject this message, but if you reject it, it'll damn your soul. Because you're accepting another gospel and another Jesus, and there is no other gospel and no other Jesus. It's Christ, Him crucified for the victory. That's where the answer is. That is the foundation message of the church. And we've strayed off into purpose-given nonsense, purpose-driven nonsense. Give the church what they want to hear. No, you need to hear what you need to hear. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't make us very comfortable. Because He's going to change us one way or the other. Why will He change us? Why can He change us? Why does He want to change us? The blood. How is He going to change us? The cross. When will He do it? When you're ready. How will He do it? The power of the Holy Ghost. You'll not be like you were. You'll not believe like you used to. You'll understand the Word of God better. The power of God will change you only as your faith's in the cross. That's the message today. Amen. So then in John 16, 14, and I'll quit with this for the sake of time today. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do something now. John 16, 14. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Why will the Holy Spirit show it to you? Because of the cross. And I thought about this. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus. That's what it means. He shall glorify me, Jesus. And I asked the Lord, how will the Holy Spirit glorify Christ? That's a good question. You know what the answer is? You. He will glorify Jesus through you. I said, He will glorify Jesus through you. Why can He glorify Jesus through you? The cross is the reason why. When the blood has been applied. So I encourage you to place your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will teach you why you can live above sin, how you can live above sin, and show you how to use the power of God for service. Yes, preacher, I want to be used of God. I want to be anointed. I want to feel the Spirit of God. I want to, you know, have that kind of victory. Put your faith in the cross, and it'll come. Then the Holy Ghost will manifest to empower us in every aspect of life. Did you get that? Stand to your feet, everybody. I said, if our faith is right, the Holy Ghost will come into our lives and empower us, change us in every aspect of our life. Sister Sal and Brother Mooney is not the problem today. We're the ones that need to be changed. Why? Because we got a problem from Adam. How's it going to happen? The cross is the only way it can happen. How many wants it to happen? Can you get a hold of this now? We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. If you're a child of God, your spirit is connected to the next realm. Why is that? The cross is the only reason why we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When He sat down, we sat down. Amen. Glory to God. The work is finished. Yes, the work is finished in us. But we're still an ongoing thing. Amen. You want to make it? You want to sit down literally one day, sit down in His throne? He said, I went to sit down in my Father's throne, and now you're going to come and sit down with me in my throne. How is that possible? The work's finished. Amen. How's it going to be finished in your life, in my life? Only one way. The blood of the Lamb, faith in the cross, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is there one today? Listen now. Is there one today that needs to give your life to Christ and kick the blood into action? Just come forward right now and make that confession of faith and show the Lord you mean business. He'll take everyone without exception. He never turns one away that comes to faith in Him. Come on. We're going to wait a minute because God's going to change this thing quickly now. Don't miss out today. Bear faith. Just give your life to Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Don't wait. You may not have another day.
You enjoy today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com, or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International. My faith will be made strong.